Good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms. We do this every year, right? Every church does this every year. And I said to Pastor Ralph, I said, you should preach on Mother's Day. He said, no, I've preached so many Mother's Day. You preach on Mother's Day. So I feel very honored to be able to share a few thoughts this morning. And where we'll go may get a little heavy, a little serious. We begin with thanks, Mama. I just found this little wanted ad. We put that up there, wanted. Dedicated Christians needed for top positions in God's program. No salary, but highest compensation. Only women need apply. There are days like this when men sit back and wonder, why are we even here? You know, and I know that this is a day, and Doreen prayed already in the prayer room about it being, in some instances, a very difficult day, Father's Day and Mother's Day. I recently read an article that was written in one of our magazines asking the church to stop celebrating Father's Day and Mother's Day because of the pain in so many people's lives. So we recognize that today there may be those here who the memory or thoughts of motherhood or fatherhood bring additional ache and pain to your heart, and we understand that, but we also recognize that it's a special day when we honor moms. Many years ago, Christianity came to my family. My dad was an alcoholic most of my life, and my mom suffered tremendously from the pain, the losing of jobs, and the worrying about her family. And I remember the day that she was visited by a Seventh-day Adventist lady. 1 week, and she would, this dear sweet lady would come and visit her, and she bought a little plaque from her, and it's on number 2 there, and she bought this, and it hung over my mom and dad's bed all my life, as far as I can remember, from the day she bought it from her. And on the days that I was sick and didn't go to school, I'd go and lay in their bed, and I'd put my pillow at the other end of the bed so I could look up and read this plaque, and I memorized this when I was about 3 or 4 years of age. To prove it to you, I'm going to read it for you. Mother, there is just one and only one. On earth, there is no other. In heaven, a noble work was done when God gave man a mother. And I thank my God, God for my mother. She's been gone about 21 years now. But in the midst of her absolute hopelessness, when I was about 10 years of age, I remember her waking up every morning saying, why didn't I die last night? I wish I had died in my sleep. There was such a heavy cloud over our home. And my mom was on the verge of a total nervous breakdown. And she heard of a little, well, we would call it a cell group nowadays, but she heard of a little Bible study prayer meeting at a lady's home. There was these 3 elderly ladies. On Thursday afternoon, they would invite, this is in Barbados, and they would invite the missionary, Brother Eggleton. He would come with his little guitar, and his wife came with her little accordion, and they would sing a few songs and pray for each other. And my mom had never been into anything like that in her life. And she came home that afternoon, and she said, whatever those people have, I want it. And I'm going back next week. Now, she went back next week, and she got it. And she came home a different person. And the next morning, folks, I remember this very clearly, the next morning, my mother woke up singing. It was as though someone had opened a window in a dark room, and the light just flooded the room, and salvation came to our household. And that simple act that seems like such a small beginning, when that missionary would meet with those 3 or 4 senior ladies, eventually my mom asked my dad, and he seemed to agree, okay. He didn't seem to object to it, and so the missionary started coming to our home on Sunday nights. And then one Sunday night, we saw a couple walk in. He was one of the leaders at one of the banks there. He'd been saved in the Billy Graham Crusade, didn't know where to go. And he said, well, we have a bigger living room. Why don't you come to our living room? And from that, the 2 largest churches in Barbados now exist because of a broken mother who went seeking for help. My mother was a very, very special, special person. And I suppose one of the questions that has been asked over the years, and I would like to address it a little bit this morning, is why are we so different? You know, it seems right in the beginning, it says, and God said, let us make man and woman, let us make male and female, and let, you know, in our image and in our likeness. Now, if my wife and I are made in His image and His likeness, why are we so different? I want to show you a little video here, and it's been around. I understand that a number of the couples here saw this, but it would be worth just laying a foundation for why we are so different, if that's ready.
We're going to start discussing men's brains, women's brains, and how they're very different from each other. Now, I want to start with men's brains. All right? Now, men's brains are very unique. Men's brains are made up of little boxes. And we have a box for everything. We've got a box for the car. We've got a box for the money. We've got a box for the job. We've got a box for you. We've got a box for the kids. We've got a box for your mother somewhere in the basement. We got boxes everywhere. And the rule is, the boxes don't touch. When a man discusses a particular subject, we go to that particular box, we pull that box out, we open the box, we discuss only what is in that box. All right? And then we close the box and put it away, being very, very careful not to touch any other box. Sorry, my Catholic upbringing got in there for a minute, but I'm not a Catholic, but I went to Catholic school when I was little. I had a nun who taught on hell like she was born and raised there. I mean, I'll never forget it, but it did me good, actually. It was a good thing. Now, women's brains are very, very different from men's brains. Women's brains are made up of a big ball of wire. And everything is connected to everything. The money's connected to the car, and the car's connected to your job, and your kids are connected to your mother, and everything's connected to everything. It's just like... It's like the internet superhighway. Okay? And it's all driven by energy that we call emotion. It's one of the reasons why women tend to remember everything. Because if you take an event and you connect it to an emotion, it burns in your memory and you can remember it forever. The same thing happens for men. It just doesn't happen very often because, quite frankly, we don't care. Women tend to care about everything. And she just loves it. Okay? Now, men, we have a box in our brain that most women are not aware of. This particular box has nothing in it. True. True. In fact, we call it the nothing box. And of all the boxes a man has in his brain, the nothing box is our favorite box. If a man has a chance, he'll go to his nothing box every time. That's why a man can do something seemingly completely brain dead for hours on end. You know, like fishing. And we love it. That's why a guy can sit in front of a TV and go. It glows. Of course, this drives our wives nuts because they'll come up and say, "Stop! You can't possibly be watching anything!" I'm not. Go away. Measure this. The University of Pennsylvania a couple of years ago did a study and discovered that men have the ability to think about absolutely nothing and still breathe. You know, they connected all the wires and stuff like that and watched the brain activity, and then all of a sudden, I think he's dead! Huh? You know, women can't do it. They can't do it. Their minds never stop. And they don't understand the nothing box. And it drives them crazy. Because nothing drives a woman more crazy or makes her feel more irritated than to witness a man doing nothing.
Wow. Yeah. You know, if that wasn't by a man, I'd get mad. That's pretty heavy stuff, because guess what I'm doing after we do our Mother's Day luncheon and stuff? I'm going north. For 3 days. And I've done it. This is our 20th year. And my wife is still trying to figure out how you do that. Because it's all part of that nothing box. We don't understand. Like the foolish man who, in a moment of frustration with his wife, said, I don't understand why God made you so beautiful and so dumb at the same time. And she said, "Honey, he made me beautiful so you would marry me. He made me dumb so I'd marry you." There's been a lot of fun here this morning, so I can have a little bit more fun because I'm going to get pretty serious in a moment. Women are angels. Women are angels. When somebody breaks their wings, they keep flying. They just use a broomstick. Proverbs 31 is called the ideal woman. I want to talk about the actual and the ideal. The ideal woman is found in Proverbs 31. And if you want to get something that really frustrates, see what this woman does. I've heard at a conference, I was going down the hallway, and the women were having a special conference in one room, and they were laughing and laughing. And Virginia Woolf was a preacher, and she was preaching from Proverbs 31, and they were just laughing at that. She was making fun of this. And you know the woman I'm talking about in Proverbs 31? Like, she does everything. She doesn't sleep. She couldn't possibly sleep. She's up all night doing this. She's up all day doing this. She's at the market. She's sewing tapestries, cooking all these incredible meals. She's looking after 100 servants. Like, she's just super. But I've taken out just a few of the actual that we can live with. And here's what it says, Proverbs 31. If you can find a truly good wife, she is worth more than precious gems. Everybody said? All the men said. Her husband can trust her, and she will richly satisfy his needs. And the men said, she will not hinder him, but help him all her life, even when he is in his nothing box. That's not there, but her children stand and bless her. So does her husband. On Mother's Day, he praises her with these words. There are many fine women in the world, but you are the best of them all. And I'd like to say that to my wife this morning, take the opportunity for the last 45 years, 42 of them we've been in the ministry, and so 42 years, if opportunity allows it, I always try to stop here and say, my dear, you are the best of them all. And it's been my privilege to be married to you for 45 years. I know that other men would love to say, okay, give me that microphone because I'd like to say something too. No, you go ahead. You say something too. Yeah. You're handing me that so I can use that? Can I keep with this for a while? Or?
All right.
I'd like to be hands-free. You've got two very special ladies here that today.
I was thinking this morning, you live together and you say things and you... But I was thinking this morning as I was sitting down writing a card for Christine. Such a great mom. And, you know, like I look at my boys and they love the Lord and they love a lot of things. And especially they have a really wide kind of spectrum of things that they enjoy. One being hockey, you know, and she's brought that to them. And she's just a great woman all around. She just loves God. She loves her boys. She loves me. I just really honor you, hon. You're a great wife. And as I said about my mom... You know, she's just been a great mom and a great inspiration to our family. Really great. So, and I just forgot to say this earlier, so I'm just going to butt in for a second. But for all of you hockey moms, we're praying that the Leafs win tonight on your Mother's Day.
No, I'll try it without. If you're a hockey widow, you're praying the Leafs lose so you can get your husband back again, right? That's... Oh, it's the wife that's watching. Such as I have, I will give to you. Last Friday evening, a week ago, we heard one of the most incredible messages. I never heard it from that angle before when Pastor Dave Callaman came and he put up on the screen. It's all about me. And I thought, wow, I've always preached. It's not about me, it's about him. It's all about others. It's not. But he did such a beautiful job of unfolding scripture after scripture and showed how much it is about us when it's from God's perspective. Objectively, it's about us. He loves us. Subjectively, it's about him. It's not about us, it's about others. Jesus first, others second, you know, the old joy and all that. But we heard such a beautiful expediting of the scriptures from this perspective. And so I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, well, what? How is a woman, how is a wife actually supposed to see herself? As we've taught in the church for years that she is the helpmeet of the husband, which is not really scriptural. That word does not exist, helpmeet, in that way. It's helper who is suitable, according to Genesis. It's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper who is compatible and suitable to him, not one who will meet all his needs. And so we've been seeing that more and more. And so just click one more time, because this is what actually we wanted our women to look into the mirror and see. Amen. I don't know if you can see it from back there, but it's a picture of a lion. And this little kitty is looking in the mirror, and she's being told, be aggressive. And so we have this problem. I call it the actual and the ideal. Let's go to the next one. The actual is the modern mum. Now, she needs a lot of hands. And if you look in each hand, you will see what she's expected to bring to the table. If you look carefully, you will see there is a credit card, some exercise, a whipper for baking some cake. There's a computer. There's a cell phone. There's a party girl. There's a book. She reads a lot. And all of that, she has another hand for another baby somewhere. And we say, this is the actual. The ideal is that prim and proper lady who just meets everybody's needs and talks exactly the way she's supposed to talk and acts exactly the way she's supposed to act. And we have a conflict here between the actual and the ideal. And I love this. There are two things when it comes to motherhood, when it comes to women, when it comes to life, the actual and the ideal. To be mature is to see the ideal and to live with the actual. Get that? To be mature is to see the ideal, to live with the actual. To fail is to accept the actual and to reject the ideal. To accept only that which is ideal and to refuse the actual is to be immature. Now, I was reading about this in the great teacher and author, Derek Prince. Here's how he sums it up. He says, do not criticize the actual because you have seen the ideal. Now, we can put that in our dreams. We can put that in our homes. We can put that in our finances. We can put that in our marriage. He says, do not reject the ideal because you see the actual. Here's maturity. Maturity is to live with the actual, but hold on to the ideal and keep the ideal before you. You live with the actual. You can say, well, give us an example. Where your finances should be this morning and could be, that's the ideal. Where they are, that's the actual. Where your marriage and home is today. And you go home tonight, get up tomorrow morning, another week started. That's the actual. Where God has purpose for it, and where it can be, that's the ideal. And so as we take these things, especially focusing on motherhood today and home and family and marriage, is there a big discrepancy between the actual and the ideal? Do not let the ideal frustrate you to the point of giving up. But do not let go of it because you have lived with the actual for so long. It is still what God has for you. Can you say amen to that with me? I hope you're going. You're looking at me like, where is he going? I'm going to share with you what every wife and mother needs. I'm going to put them up there and just be ready to click every time, Logan, I say something. To feel that she is the queen of the home. And all the wives said. To know that her husband sees her as a spiritual being. And all the wives said. To know that her husband is faithful and dependable. To feel fulfilled as she carries out her God-ordained role. To know and to have her husband know that her response to sex differs from that of her husband. You don't have to say anything. This is a family service. To have her husband see that she needs a partner in raising children. No amens? Okay. Your choice. And the number 7, to know that her husband understands her need for expressed appreciation and affection. Now I want you to look at those, that every one of them deserves about a half an hour of just exegeting. But take a look at them, and what I'd like you to do, choose at least one, maybe two, And if you can't remember the actual phase, or you can't raise it, just remember the number. And after the service, come and shout a number at me. And said, that's the one I'm going to talk to my hubby about. That's the one I'm going to get some interaction on. I'm going to read them through quickly one more time. To feel that she is the queen of the home. To know that her husband sees her as a spiritual being. To know that her husband is faithful and dependable. To feel fulfilled as she carries out her God-given, God-ordained role. To know and to have her husband know that her response to sex differs from that of her husband. To have her husband see that she needs a partner in raising children. And to know that her husband understands her need for expressed appreciation and affection. And that's why Mother's Day is pretty special to mothers and to wives, to moms, because it is the day when, like Pastor Ralph said, is the day when it is done. It should be done every day. But it is a day when we are told by our society, we're told one day to be thankful. Well, folks, we should be thankful every single day of our lives. And though we're told one day to honor mom, well, we should be honoring moms all. Father's Day is coming. It's okay, guys. We'll get there. Father's Day is coming. But that's just a reminder. We can say some things like this that we probably would not say on an average Sunday morning. So take a look at that list and say, you know, I'd like to talk to my husband about that one. And keep that one in mind. I'm going to ask Doreen to come and give me some help here. As my faithful partner for 45 years, I'm so thankful for her faithfulness. And she's going to tell me off. Kind of, in a nice way, because she's so nice. Just do a few and they'll see how many I can take without stopping you. Okay.
I am your safeguard against hasty decisions.
There are many men who are frustrated because they're making monthly payments on stuff their wives told them not to buy. I thought that would get a giggle, no? Okay. Okay, that's serious. Okay.
I am a mirror of your present spiritual condition.
I don't like that. Okay, keep going.
Okay. I am the basis of your most important message, how Christ loves the church.
Husbands, there's Paul. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, we're never told she that finds a husband finds a good thing. But we're told he that finds a wife finds a good thing. Amen. And this good thing is a reflection. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself. I have husbands say to me, I'm willing to die for my wife. I say, I've got a better idea. Why don't you just live for her? That would be a lot more appreciated. Just live for her. Okay, what's the next one? These are getting hard, man. What did you pick on these?
I provide the potential for power in your prayers.
I provide the potential for power in your prayers. We put a scripture there because Peter put it this way. He says, because if you do not treat your wives with respect and honor, your prayers will be hindered. Sometimes I've had men over the years, I'm talking 42 years, come for prayer and say, well, you know, Pastor, this is happening, I'm doing this, and but this, the answer is not coming. And when you counsel with them one-on-one, you find that, especially if you speak to the wife, you find that he's not treating her the way he should treat her. And his prayers are being hindered according to Scripture. I'm having a little trouble with this thing on top of my ear. Maybe I need bigger ears. I should get a pair of Prince Charles ears. Let's have those. Let's stick them on the side of the head. Yeah, I think that's better. Thank you. And this is hard, and I'm going to say it, but this is very hard. But I've been saying this for many years, and I still say it today. In circumstances that sometimes are very close. When a man tells me his wife does not love him anymore, I know I'm talking to a man who has not loved his wife like Christ loved the church. Because there's no such thing as a woman who would leave a man who treated her like that. Any others on that list?
I am your alarm system to protect against women with wrong motives.
Ah. And all the women said amen. Now, there is such a thing as a jealous spirit. We understand that. I'm not looking at that way at all. I'm looking at the wisdom and the sensitivity that God gives to wives to protect her marriage and protect her home. It's not the gift of discernment. There's no such gift. It is the word of knowledge, usually, that the wife has, and that sensitivity. There is discernment, that's just not the gift. It's the gift of discerning of spirits, but not the gift of discernment. But there is a discernment that comes, and usually comes through the working of the word of knowledge, to just be an alarm system. Folks, listen, men, when your husband gives you a warning like this, you listen. You listen. We agreed years ago that my wife had the right to ask me where I was at 2 o'clock, where I was at 4 o'clock, where I was. And I would tell her where I was without making her feel that she was not trusting me. That when she asked me where I was, it was good for me to tell her. I needed to tell her. That way I needed to make sure I was where I could tell her where I was without any guilt. You hear what I'm saying, guys? We need to stop feeling that, well, don't you trust me? Don't you? Like, she has the right to ask me where I was. I am her husband. She is my protector as I am her protector.
I am your joy of sexual fulfillment without guilt.
Family service, we're moving on.
I am gifted and anointed to instill godly attitudes in our children.
Well, the first few years of our child's life, thank God when dads are there to change diapers, they're finding it more and more important that dads be there. But let's face it, the child spends more time with mom. And God has gifted a mother to instill these godly characters. They tell us the first 7 years of a child's life, there's things, a character that's built into a child that will never change. Those early years are so important. And moms, you are the ones who instill that godly character in your children. Amen. I want you to choose again. Are these numbered? These are not numbered. But take one or two. I believe in taking the message home. Amen? So just jot down something that you would like to talk about with your spouse. And may it be a blessing to you. Okay, the next one that we want to look at. Is it ready? What hurts our wives? Okay, let's go with the first one. When a husband fails to be a spiritual leader. And what happens when a husband fails to be a spiritual leader?
His wife feels insecure and she needs godly leadership.
One of the hardest things we've found to do as a couple is to have a regular daily devotional with our family. Especially when they're running in all different directions. And when the children were small and the Living Bible came out, what we would do after breakfast, before the other kids came down the street to pick up our boys, we would gather in the living room, and Doreen made sure that she brought the Bible. She kind of made the call, gathering call, come on. And we would sit down. And we found this out. You can't read Ecclesiastes to a bunch of kids. You can't read, you know, all these. We just settled for the proverb of the day in the Living Bible. Proverb of the day in the King James Bible. In the Living Bible, the proverb of the day had something to say to those kids every day. What was so good about it? You didn't lose your space. You didn't forget where you were last week or yesterday. Whatever the day is, you read that proverb. And that became life for our family. Then we would put on the armor. Come on. We would put on the belt of truth. We would put on the breastplate of righteousness. We put on our shoes, the readiness of the gospel of peace. Above us, we would take the shield of faith with which we are able to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. On our heads, the helmet of salvation. In our right hand, the sword of the Spirit. That's not the logos, that's the rhema word. That's a word for every day for these children. And I tell you, ready for the day. Yeah. Too many of our kids are heading out our home like spiritual streakers. Come on, we got to put some spiritual clothing on our kids before we send them off into the day, before we ourselves go off into the day. There's nothing magical about it. Like, they're not going to get hit with a truck because you didn't read that proverb of the day to them. It's simply honoring God in their lives and asking for His blessing. Amen? So dads, I know it's hard because in us is that kind of stuff. We'd rather go out there and cut a tree down. But we have to take spiritual leadership within our homes. Come on now. Somebody say. Okay. Next one. When a husband does not accept himself, well, how does that make the wife feel?
His wife feels the same rejection from him.
Yeah. That's why I keep going back to a week ago Friday night. That word was so powerful about the value that God places on us. And no matter if you had a lot of self-rejection, a lot of pain in your life, a lot of feelings of insecurity, folks, God will touch you with that. He'll encourage you. He'll let you know of your value. And when you recognize your value, it does something to your wife. She needs you to accept yourself. Number three is when a husband, this never happens. Maybe I would skip it if it wasn't up there, but I can't skip it. When a husband admires other women, what happens to the wife?
His wife feels inferior, jealous, and hurt.
Let's do the next one. When a husband neglects needed home repair,
his wife builds up resentment and impatience.
Now, can you just nudge me with your elbow? Yeah. Again. Okay. Ladies, learn to use a screwdriver. Learn to change it. We don't have to do it all. But like climbing up a ladder to clean out the eavesdropping, maybe, you know, we should be doing that, guy. There are things that our wives need for us to do. Come on. When we first bought our home, first home in Calgary, I remember we had to draw some lines. She says, no, you're not decorating upstairs. You see, she knows how to decorate. And she said, you're not touching upstairs. I said, well, then you don't touch downstairs. We should see what downstairs look like. And she said, and the front yard is mine, the backyard is yours. So you have to draw the line sometimes. But guys, if you can think of something now that your wife has been after you for a while, why not get it done before Wednesday? Okay, when a husband forgets anniversaries and birthdays and Mother's Day,
his wife feels unimportant and not cherished by him.
Big deal, we say. That's one of the big differences. Big deal. Just a card. Well, go get it. Just a card. There's something so important to this, guys. Don't hurt your wife again by neglecting things that are... Just touch that one more time, because I got one more line for that. Logan, let it come down. Or she takes him to Jubilee Faith on Mother's Day and gets reminded that what things have to be done around the house. Thank you, my dear. I'll just sit there because I want you to come back in just a minute. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Three lists that we just gave there, there is opportunity for hurt, for pain, for grudges, for unforgiveness. That top line, if you are angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Don't let the sun go down with you still angry. Get over it quickly. For when you are angry, hear this. This is for men and women, but especially on Mother's Day. Ladies, when you're angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. Dr. Dobson put out a magazine. I just found this last night. I'm going through a folder I had. And it was asked, what questions were asked Dr. Dobson? He was asked, if you had to indicate the one factor that has done more damage to families than any other, what would it be? Here is the learned doctor's answer. He said, it would be the almost universal condition of fatigue and time pressure, which leaves every member of the family exhausted and harried. Many of them have nothing left to invest in their marriages or in the nurturing of children. The hurried lifestyle also puts great pressure on women. Many of them are trapped in a chaotic world that constantly threatens to overwhelm them. And then he sums up that question with this word. The way we live is crazy. There has to be a better way than this to raise our kids. We must make the financial sacrifices necessary to slow the pace of living. Folks, there's a lot to be said, and a lot has been said about this kind of thing, but I'm going to say this. Just Friday night, we went to a granddaughter's dance recital. I thought that would be cute. We were there 4.5 hours. And they repeated it last night. Little kids, little children, there until getting home probably around 11 o'clock at night. Well, thankfully, it was a weekend, except I think a lot of those grandkids aren't in church this morning. But just the pressure we put on ourselves. You really have to ask this question in light of eternity. In light of eternity, what I'm pouring my life into now, is it really necessary in the light of eternity? So if you are here this morning, or if you know of someone here, there are three things I'd like to just share with you. If you have a grudge, it says up top there, don't sin by nursing your grudge. One, don't nurse it. Number two, don't curse it. And number three, don't rehearse it. Don't curse it, don't nurse it, don't rehearse it. If you will, here we go, if you will disperse it through forgiveness, shaking it off like Paul shook off the serpent that grabbed onto his hand. If you will disperse it, guess what God will do? He will reverse it. He will reverse it. What the enemy intended to hurt you and your family and your children will actually be turned into a blessing. And it actually can... Where did... Go away. You see, there's no grand Mother's Day. So she just pops up every now and then. I thought I had a call for her, but she came out on her own. But, okay. I thought I'd said something funny. Remember Joseph, what a beautiful example. He could have had that grudge, he could have had that pain, that anger. He had a right to be angry at his brothers. He came to the place where he could say, what you intended for evil, God has turned it into a blessing. And if we can learn that secret of not cursing it, not nursing it, not rehearsing it, but dispersing it, shaking that poisonous, when that serpent grabbed onto Paul's arm in the Isle of Crete, all the local people said, "We know that snake. He's a dead man." And he went over and he shook it off in the fire. We had to shake some things off. Listen, offenses will come. Jesus said it, offenses will come. Most of life, I've got a whole message on this, Pastor Ralph. I'm looking forward to sharing one Sunday morning. Are you a reactor or are you a responder? It's not really the problem that causes our grief. It's how we respond or react to the problem and the things that happen in our lives. I want to put a bunch of women's names in the Bible, and I don't have time to go through them all. Each of them has a beautiful story to tell. Each of them was so very, very important to the nation of Israel, to God's program, to His purposes. And what I'm saying is women are in the Bible. But here's the statement. Just click it one more time there, Logan. The statement is this: in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And I believe the Holy Spirit saw to it that was recorded way back. And Isaiah quoted again in the New Testament and quoted, I would hope, every month at least in churches all over the world. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. On Sunday morning, Brother Dave Callahan preached a powerful word about prophesying your future. What a tremendous word. Listen, God wants to put in the mouths of our women, of our young women, of our older women, of our mothers, a word that's alive, a word that can speak life. We talked last Wednesday night about that word when Mary, she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. And then she said, and from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And she is being called blessed today as the mother, earthly mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And she prophesied that word into her, into being. I'm going to get some of that, pinch my ear a little better here. For all those women, young girls that are here, okay, you go ahead to the next one, Logan. I just want you to leave the top one. A blessing for every single woman who aspires to marry. Whether you've gone through the ravages and the pain of divorce or the loss of a spouse and you hope maybe to marry again, or whether you've never been married. I want you, regardless of how young you are, you ladies here today, I want you to be open to what I'm going to speak. I'm going to prophesy scripture. All these scriptures here, I'm going to make a composite. I have made a composite of these to speak into your life. And if you will embrace it, if you will say amen, if you will say amen to it. On Father's Day, we can maybe do some of this for the young men. But here is what it says. Go ahead and touch it there. I bless you. Would you read it with, not aloud, but would you follow me so that we don't get mixed up here? I bless you with a loving husband who will cleave to you and consider you as one with his own flesh. May he love you as Christ loves the church and be willing to lay down his life for you. May God choose for you a man who will remain faithful to you and always see in you the beauty of the woman he married. May he honor you as the gentler partner in your marriage and never do anything that will cause you grief or harm. May he always provide for you in a way that will permit you to accomplish all that God has planned for your life. And all you young ladies say, amen. All those who are hoping, looking forward to being married, I want you to say, amen. That's a word that I receive. I receive it into my spirit. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to ask Doreen to come. We're going to close with something that hopefully will touch your heart. And it's called Blue Flowers. Go ahead and go to the next one, please.
I ran into a stranger as she passed by. Oh, excuse me, please, was my reply. She said, Please excuse me, too. I wasn't watching for you. We were very polite, this stranger and I. We went on our way as we said goodbye. But at home, a different story is told, how we treat our loved ones, young and old. Later that day, cooking the evening meal, my son stood beside me, very still. When I turned, I nearly knocked him down. "Move out of the way," I said with a frown. He walked away, his little heart broken. I realized how harshly I'd spoken. While I lay awake in bed, God's still small voice came to me and said, "While dealing with a stranger, common courtesy you use. But the children you love, you seem to abuse. Go look on the kitchen floor. You'll find some flowers there by the door. Those are the flowers he brought for you. He picked them himself. Flowers he brought for you. He picked them himself, pink, yellow, and blue." He stood very quietly, not to spoil the surprise. And you never saw the tears that filled his eyes. By this time, I felt very small. And now my tears began to fall. I quietly went and knelt by his bed. "Wake up, little one, wake up," I said. "Are these the flowers you picked for me?" He smiled. "I found them by a tree. I picked them because they're pretty like you. I knew you'd like them, especially the blue." I said, "Son, I'm very sorry for acting the way I did today. I should not have yelled at you that way." He said, "Oh, Mom, that's okay. I love you anyway." I said, "Son, I love you too. And I really like the flowers, especially the blue."
Amen. There's a lot of truth in that little poem. I remember Dr. Yongi Cho. I heard him speak when he had 700,000 in his church. And he said he came home from a big prayer meeting one day. This is Dr. Cho, folks. The largest church in the world. He said, "I came home from prayer meeting one day and my wife was in her room packing her bags." And I'm going to try and talk like Dr. Cho. He says, "Wife, where are you going? Where you go?" He says, "Cho, I leave you. I leave you." He says, "Where you go?" "I go live on the platform of the church." Why you do that, wife?" He says, "Because at the platform of the church, you act like angel. At home, you act like devil." We all need some adjustments from time to time. We live with the actual. We aim at the ideal. Trouble comes when we expect our spouses and our children to live and act like the ideal, and we ourselves know how actual and real we are. I'm going to ask Pastor Frieda if she would come. And we have the microphone here. Would you mind coming? I'm going to ask all the ladies, I honor this lady too. I do not know her that well, but I know of her, and I honor you for your faithfulness. I'm going to ask all the ladies, not mothers only, all women, all ladies, would you come and stand here at the front? I'm going to ask this dear lady to pray a blessing over you on this special, I'm not calling it Mother's Day, Ladies' Day.
Yes.
Ladies' Day, because we need a blessing. And this lady here has the ability and the anointing to prophesy over you a prayer, a blessing. And I trust that you will receive it. Well, the ladies are all up here. I'm going to ask the men to stand where you are and extend your hands toward these ladies. Maybe your wife, maybe your daughter, maybe a friend up here. So would you extend your hands? Ladies, hold your hands like this. Men, I want you to hold your hands like this and pronounce your blessing. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we praise you and we thank you for the honor of being wives, mothers, and women, Lord, that you have created.
Yes.
You've created us, Lord, to be the foundation mm-hmm. of our homes.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I thank you that you anoint each one of us to live up to that expectation that you have for us, Lord, that we will truly be the mothers
yes.
in our home, to be yes. the wives, to be the woman.
Yes.
That will be an encouragement, Lord. You created us to be a helper, to be an assistant to our husbands, to the men in this world.
Yes.
Lord, I just pray a blessing
yes.
on every lady, on every mother. Lord, I
be
pray
blessed.
Especially for the mothers who
blessed.
Stand alone
yes.
on this day. Lord, I pray that you will strengthen them for the job that's before
Jesus
them, Lord.
Precious.
Anoint them in a very special way to be both mom and dad. Lord, I just thank you. You said you would be a father to the fatherless. So, Lord, I just thank you that this day you will strengthen
mm-hmm.
all our single mothers
yes.
here today. Pray for the wives that have no husband standing
yes, Lord.
Beside them today.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, especially on
yes,
this
Lord.
Day. I just pray that your comforting hand will
healing.
Be upon them.
Healing.
Lord, that you will strengthen them this day.
Healing.
That you are the husband to them now. And Lord, I just thank you for a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day today
yes.
for all the women in this church and all over the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. I believe there are little gifts at the door. When you're leaving this morning, make sure you get one, Mom.